And we're holding by the two dots on some of Cast Emerada, eight lines from the bottom. Okay, so we've been discussing, the Mishnah had mentioned this whole concept of Ben Pekua, that you shecht a mother animal, find a baby inside, then you're allowed to eat the baby without its own shechita, which we're going to develop as we go throughout the parak. And we said also that even if you cut off a piece of the ober of the unborn baby while it's in the womb, then you're allowed to still eat that part. You're allowed to still eat that part which is still in there when you shech the mother later. On the other hand, we said if you cut off a part of the mother herself, like even a part that wouldn't necessarily make her trace, then that part itself is also key. You mentioned, for example, the spleen or the kidneys.
But you don't cut that inside.
Right. Well, I was talking about you reached into the animal, and they reached into the animal, okay, through the womb, and cut whilst alive, yeah, and cut them. So actually, again, in the previous paragraph we discussed that maybe actually it means the mother herself does become treifa from it, because cutting them is worse than them being removed completely. But even if we don't take that view of it, even if we say that even if they're cut, the mother is still mutter, the point is those pieces themselves are also as eva menachah. If you cut off a piece of the mother's kidneys or spleen or whatever. Okay, so Manolan, where do we know this whole concept from, that you find an unborn baby inside a mother that you're allowed to eat? So that's the Sichtiv. You have a pasuk in Parashas Re'eh, in the whole parasha over there about kosher and non-kosher animals. There's v'chol behemim afresis parasa v'gomer, like this. The whole pasuk goes like this. V'chol behemim afresis parasa v'shesas shesa prosos malaf gera ba behema oisa techelu. Any animal that has split hooves, b'chol behema, any animal, mafresis parasa that has hooves, v'shesas shesa shteka, that has split hooves, v'shesas shesa shteka, and that they're fully split, both of it, all of its hooves, into two hooves on each foot, malas gera, that shoes is called ba behema, among the behema, that you can eat. So we're going to focus on this. So we have at the beginning of the pasuk behema, and near the end of the pasuk ba behema. So ba behema, literally in context, you would usually attach it as among the animals, but the Gemara is mentioning it behema ba behema means one animal inside another animal. Therefore, the rabbis is a blind. So therefore, that comes to include a baby animal inside another one. So the question is, if you're going to say
or
that...
anything else
inside the animal. No, only behema. That's what we're going to talk about.
Behema,
ba behema. It doesn't just say ba behema. It says behema. And then it says ba behema. B'chol behema, b'chesis parasa, etc. Ba behema, oisa techeru. So behema, that's in a behema.
Okay, baby as well.
So baby, which is inside the mother, right?
Yeah.
So the question is, if you're going to tell me then that you're considering the blood to be a behema of its own, elamayata yomiru boy, then it should be possible to make a tmura with it. If you had a Rashi gives an example. You had an animal that itself is kodshim and is pregnant. So the mother is kodshim. The baby is not necessarily kodshim because of that. If you were to the mother is Kaddish, and therefore the baby is Kaddish as well. But the Vlad is Kaddish, because we're talking about on the days about a Bechur, which becomes Kaddish only when it's born, but other Kaddishim become Kaddish while they're still in the womb. So anyway, so suppose you had a pregnant animal that you made Kaddishim. So now the baby is Kaddishim as well. Now if you were to take another chulin animal and say, Zut Muras Zu, I'm making this chulin animal in exchange for the unborn baby, it sounds like it should work. You get malchus for doing it, but it sounds like it should be effective. Because in general, because the Torah tells us, lo yachlifanu, v'lo yomiru, it's a lab, like any other lab. So a person gets malchus for making a tmura, but it's effective. The v'hoyahu, tmuras, the yakodish, the original animal, and the tmura both become holy. So if you're going to tell me that the animal inside the womb is the unborn baby is considered a behemoth for this purpose, then it should be a behemoth for purposes of tmura. Aloma tnan. So why do we learn in a Mishnah in tmura? Not so. Ein mamirin loy evrin beubrin loy ubrin beevrin loy evrin beubrin beshlamin loy shlamin behem. You cannot make. It's not possible to make a tmura using limbs for unborn animals. For example, again, similar scenario, but instead of saying that this whole other animal of cholin is going to be tmura, you're going to say that the leg of this animal is going to be tmura instead of the baby of this animal. So that doesn't work. It doesn't work. or the lawyer over in the A room.
Or,
not
working on the exchange.
No, one second. Or one second. It can't be exchanged for a varin. The lawyer over in the A room, or vice versa, to say this unborn baby and this animal should be a tmura for that, for the leg of that other, for the leg of that other animal, which we're going to see soon. It is possible to declare a leg by itself, Kodjim, we'll get to that. But like Averin, Oberin, Beshleiman, you also can't make an Aver or an Ober a Tmura on behalf of a whole regular animal, Beshleiman, Behen, or a whole animal Tmura on behalf of a limb or an Ober of another animal. So we see that the Ober is not considered a Behema. So what are you telling me that Behema, the Behema?
What do you mean? You cannot exchange it.
You could. What do you mean you can't? You can't because the Mishnah just told us you can. But why not? If it's a behema, the pasuk says v'im homer yomer behema b'behema v'ha'yehu t'murasi yekodesh. So here, if you're going to consider the blood of behema as far as the din of kashrus, you should consider it a behema as far as the din of t'mura as well on the face of it. And therefore, it should be possible to say the uber of this one is a t'mura on behalf of this other animal, or vice versa.
The whole animal, you're saying.
Yeah, the baby of one animal on behalf of it should be a tmura, you should be able to be a tmura for another whole animal, or vice versa. Yeah. No, so that doesn't work. Ela omakra, no. Rather, we have to say, how do we know that you're allowed to eat the unborn baby? Because the next plus it continues, v'chol behema. The next plus it continues, also in Parshas Re, any animal. So that would be the rabbis of blood. So okay, the v'chol would be to include the baby as well.
Yeah, but we have the shech, maybe, perhaps.
No, because then there's no chiddush in it.
Oh.
Yeah. No, so the question is, yichachi afilu chosach min atchol min atchloyas nami. In that case, once you're saying b'chol behema, then shouldn't it also include pieces of the mother herself that were cut off while it was still alive? Because it's inside the animal, after all. Alomotnan, so why did we say in our Mishnah, chosach min obashu me'er mutvachila, that only if you cut off a piece of the unborn baby is that piece mutvachila, minachcholim and akloyas asabachila, but we said if you cut off part of the spleen or the kidneys of the mother animal, then those themselves are asabachila. If you're learning from b'chol behema,
once you cut it, it doesn't belong to the animal.
No, but it's inside, same way as the mother, same way as the baby, is inside. And not only that, we said if we cut off a piece of the baby, then you're allowed to. So what's the difference? We said if you cut off a piece of the baby and leave it inside the womb, it's allowed, even though it's not physically attached anymore. So why should it be different with the toil and the cloyus? No.
Is what?
The spleen. The answer is omakra oisa. Sure, but the pasuk says v'chol behema afresh parasite, etc. Oisa techelu. So the word oisa means it as a whole. It's a mute. Oisa techelu. Oisa shleima v'lechaseri. You can only eat it when it's complete, not when it's missing something. So once it's missing something, then you're no good. Okay, fine. So far, so good. But ela me'asa. But now we have another problem. Based on what you're telling me that you're learning from b'chol behema, so whatever you find inside a behema, fine. The mother herself has to be whole because of oisa. But anything you find in it, regardless whether it's a normal baby or whether it's deformed, is mutter, it sounds like. Suppose then that you shecht an animal and you find in it something shaped like a dove. Now, we're talking about a four-legged animal, so you wouldn't expect it to have a baby that's shaped like a dove or any other kind of bird. Now, Tosfos points out that we're talking about something over here which Pachal is not going to be able to live. Not only it doesn't look anything like an animal, but also it's something that's if it's so deformed that it looks like a bird as opposed to an animal, it means it's not going to live very long. So like what Aaron was mentioning on Friday night about a misformed pregnancy, molar pregnancy, whatever. That's So you would argue, so if you found this Dmus Yonah in it, Tishri, on the face of it, it ought to be mutter to eat, because you're telling me anything that you find, b'chol behema, anything you find in it. Allahumma amr Rabbi Yechanan ha-sheikh is a behema or mutter to eat Dmus Yonah also b'achila. So why does Rabbi Yechanan tell us that in fact it would be also to eat that?
What? What do we have to say? A different tomorrow?
Rabbi Yechanan is saying, the original case Rabbi Yochanan says that in connection with is actually a Mishnah in Nida that talks about if a human mother has a deformed baby like that, you have the question, is she Tomei later or not? Does she have the usual 7 or 14 days of Toma, etc.? So in that connection, Rabbi Yochanan mentions what would happen if an animal gave birth to just a thing. Or not gave birth, in this case, if you found it in the womb, whatever. If you're learning from Behema, Behema, okay, this isn't a Behema, so therefore it's not included. But if you're telling me you're learning from B'chol Behema, why shouldn't it be included? The answer is sure, but we're in a process to elect it. But after all, what does it say over there? The whole behemoth, my freshest parasa, which is fast check up process. So you're allowed to eat it. So it needs to have process. It needs to have hooves, after all. This one that looks like a dove doesn't have hooves. The left hand, you don't have it. So therefore, so the pasuk would be mamayidin. From Rashi, it seems that it would actually have to have process, or at least, I mean, the Gemara is going to say in a second that it has to have, it may not have to have them split. It could still be a kol, it can still be mutter, but at least it would have to have legs, for example, Rashi seems to be learning. Tosfos on Amud Aleph says that no, it doesn't even have to have legs, it just has to be something that it looks enough like an animal that would normally have parasis. So even if this particular one doesn't have legs at all, it could still be mutter, but if it looks like a dove, if it looks like a bird, which Bechlal doesn't have any legs that resemble those of animals, then it would be awesome. Okay, so the question is, Elamei after kolot v'mei parolitzer, by your logic then, if you're saying it needs hooves, then it should need actual split hooves on each leg. So why, so a kolot, if you found a baby animal that was deformed in a different way and didn't have split hooves, misformed hooves, yeah, v'mei para, that you find it inside a para, litzer, then by your logic it ought to be also, and because not processed. The answer is okay. The answer is yeah, but we have a brisa of Tanit Ve'Rabbi Shmuel that agrees with Reb Shimon. We learned a couple of times already that Reb Shimon had said that if you find a kolos that's born is also to eat, it's like a camel in that sense. But if you find it in the womb, then it's mutter. And we learn that because Tanit Ve'Rabbi Shmuel says because you take words from the pasuk over there, parasa bebehema techelu, because it says over there, it mentions in the pasuk over there the word parasa hoof, meaning one hoof. Then it says bebehema in the behema techelu, you're allowed to eat. So by taking different psukim from different words from the pasuk over there, you have where it says parasa and it says prasoit. So whether you find parasa or prasoit, it'll be mutter. Whereas a yoina, a dove, doesn't have either one. And the point is, by the way, mention a dove, because even though a dove in and of itself is kosher a bird, but here you found it inside a four-legged animal, which is not something that normally gives birth to such a thing. And if Tosfos says it's not even going to survive, then that something is also. Okay, Tosfos, by the way, at the end of the previous paragraph also brings up an interesting point. We learned over there, we said that you're allowed to eat certain worms that you find in animals. We said actually that you're not allowed to eat certain worms that you find in animals under the skin, downy, we talked about over there. Based on what we're saying over here, of course you can't eat them. They're not my precious parasite. So what do you need? We had a separate pasuk over there to teach us that that you're not allowed to eat them if you find them in a behemoth. So
like worms?
Yeah, these worms that you find under the skin. So okay, Tosfos says because
the question is
why do we need a separate thing to tell us that you're not allowed to eat these worms if we see over here that you're not even allowed to eat a yona because it doesn't have parasa and process. So of course you can't eat those worms. What's the chiddush in it? And Tosfos' answer is because as we discussed over there, the worms themselves come into existence from the flesh itself, or at least even if they come from eggs, they come from microscopic ones or whatever. So therefore, you would think that they're considered like the meat. You'd think they're considered like the meat itself, and therefore you need a chiddush. Whereas over here, the baby, I mean, ultimately it forms from the mother after all, but it is definitely a separate entity. No, that's what we're talking about. We were talking about when you found them in the liver or in the lungs or whatever. Here we're talking about ones that you find under the skin. Okay. All right.
So they're not considered part.
So they're not considered part. So therefore they're taka. No. So we said if you found them under the skin, that means between the muscles and the skin.
If you find it in the muscles,
then we said also that they're also, even though they come from the animal itself, as we said, they're still shared as a shared cell artist.
If you cook them a piece of meat that long it there,
then you'd have to consider it as a bottle of shishim or whatever. You'd have to figure out whether it was a barrier. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay, so far that gives us one way of understanding how we can eat the unborn baby, because we are learning from Kol Behema. We owe them from kol. We're not calling it a behema in and of itself, because otherwise it would be subject to tumura. We're learning from kol, but we're saying that it does have to be the mother herself has to be whole because of oisa. Therefore, the kol and koyus you can't eat from. And that, on the other hand, the baby itself at least has to have parasa or prosos. Therefore, it can't be shaped like a dove.
Oh, you got to the tumura. Is that like a, you make tumura from?
No, you can't make a tumura from a baby. Right. But, so that's all one way of explaining. So why not? Because it's not considered a behema. And even here, we're not considering it a behema. We're learning it from b'chol behema. We're learning it from the word kol. So therefore, the b'chol includes the unborn baby. So therefore, fine. So it's not considered a behema in and of itself. Therefore, sure, tomorrow only applies to behemas.
Even though the mother is a kodesh.
So if the mother is kodshim, the baby is kodshim as well. But the point is that it's possible to a certain extent to make conditions on that. Whatever, we'll get to that in a second tomorrow, Bez Hashem. But the point is that if the baby is kodesh, there's no way of having another animal be a tmura on behalf of that baby, or vice versa. Or using the baby of one, and you could also have the other way around. You can have a mother animal that's pregnant, which is cholin, and the baby is cholin as well, and you're going to say the unborn baby should be a tmura on behalf of this other animal, which is kodshim. So we're saying it wouldn't work. Why wouldn't it work? Because tmura can only be done with animals. I mean, how many of them? The behema, and here it's not a behema.
You can't see it.
It's not called behema yet. It's only called a behema once it's born. Right now it's only included in cold behema.
Even if it's born, it doesn't
stand
it.
Well, yeah, okay. Right. Okay, fine. Rav Shimi Ba'ashi answers, here's a whole different way of looking at it. La'olam kidikamik mi'ikra. We can go back to our original way of trying to learn it from behema bi-behema, one behema inside a behema, and therefore that means that the baby is mutter. So you're asking, what about this din that you just said that you can't make a tmura using an unborn animal? The answer is Hamani Rav Shimon. You could answer that din is only according to Rav Shimon. The Makish Tmura Lamaiser, where Rav Shimon is the one who says that there is a hekish Rav Shimon is the one who says that there's a hekish between Tmura and Meiser. Do you have a
follow? What are we trying to learn?
We're trying to say like this. Yes, we can learn from behema to behema. You're asking in that case the unborn animal. That you can eat the unborn baby. That you can eat, forget about this idea that we're learning from b'chol behema. Let's go back to, we can learn it from the fact that the pasuk says, b'chol behema, mafresas, parasa, etc., ba behema, oisefe chelu. We're going to say the beginning of the pasuk mentions behema, the end mentions ba behema, so therefore it means anything it means the baby, the animal that's inside another animal, you're allowed to eat. You're asking in that case if the unborn baby is considered a behema for that purpose, why isn't it considered a behema for purposes of tmura? The answer is it would be. But Hamani Rav Shimon he, but this Mishnah that we quoted before that says that it's not, it would be only according to Rav Shimon. The Makish Tmura Lamaiser, because Rav Shimon holds that there is a hekish between tmura and Maiser. Namely like this. You have twice in Parashas Bechukosai, it talks about the idea of tmura. Once it says it in general about kodshim, that any animal you have a kodshim, you're not allowed to make a tmura with it, lo yachlifenu v'lo yamir oisai, and if you do, then both of them are kodesh. The person gets malchus because he's over on a lav, and both animals, the original one and the substitute, become kodesh. Then you have, near the end of Chumash Vayikra, it says again the same din as far as ma'aser behemah. Where every tenth one is meister, lo yachlifenu v'lo yamer oiser, and if you do, then v'ha yohu t'morasi yekodesh. Same posture. So why is it repeating it again? If it said it in general by kodeshim, why is it repeating it by meister? So Rav Shimon says, what are you talking about? Meister behema. Meister behema is kodeshim. Meister behema is kodeshim. You take meister behema, that you count your animals, and every tenth one becomes kodesh. Those animals have to be taken to the Beis HaMikdash and brought as a korban. And we say every day in davening, I'm a chov on my sevah pesach, kodshim kalim.
Kodshim kalim.
No, so what? What we said before, kodshim meant kodshim kalim, doesn't matter. Anyway, so Rav Shimon says, so if you have a general thing about all kodshim, why does it say it specifically by meister? Because he says that it's done in order to create a hekish. So we say like this, meister, first of all, is something that can only be brought by a yachid. There's no such thing as ma'aser behemah of the tibur. Also, Also, Meister is something that's, now you have, remember, there's two different types of Kodshim when it comes to animals and when it comes to anything. You have Kodshim with Beach that are actually going to be brought as Korbanos, and you have Kodshim Bedek Abayis, where just the value of them is going to be given to, they're owned by the Beis Mikdash, and the value of them is going to be used for the upkeep of the Beis Mikdash. Meister, Behema, is number one, it's a Korban Yochid. Number two, it's Kodshim with Beach. So this whole concept of Tmura, says Reb Shimon, only applies to those things. It only applies to Korbanos of a Yachid. It doesn't apply to Korbanos of a Tzibur, and says Reb Shimon. And second of all, it only applies to Kodshim Mizbeach. Now, so therefore, so Reb Shimon continues, once we're making that Hekesh, we also figure like this. Meister, when you designate an animal as Meister Behema, only the whole animal. There's no such thing as designating a limb of an animal as Meister. There's also no such thing as an unborn baby being counted for Meister. So therefore, Tmura doesn't apply to Evorim or Obrim. So Rav Shimon says, the Makish Tmura or Meister. Ma Meister ain't a noyag be'evrim be'obrim. Just like Meister behema doesn't apply to individual limbs or to unborn babies. It's only right. Tmura ain't in a, well, it can apply to Bali Mumin, but you can't make an individual limb of this animal be Meister, right?
Bali Mumin, still an animal.
Yeah. Tmura, in and ahead, that's be'evim be'obrim. Therefore, Tmura also doesn't apply to individual limbs of an animal or to unborn animals. So Reb Shimon would be saying that, the Chachamim might not necessarily agree with it. They could say that maybe you could make a Tmura. That you could make Tmura with a part of an animal or with an unborn animal. So therefore, you're back to good. So the unborn animal is considered behema. So there you go. We can learn from behema to behema after all. Well, that's true. Although it's interesting because in this case over here, the halacha is like the Chachamim in that Mishnah, right? The halacha is like that Mishnah. Ein lemirim lo evrin beubrin lo evrin beibarin. You can't. You're not able to make.
That would be according to Reb Shimon.
So okay, in that case, because the Sam Mishnah, so okay, our Gemara is mentioning over here that it's according to Reb Shimon, but that doesn't take away from the fact that it's still that may be that the Chum hold differently, but nevertheless it's still Sam Mishnah, and in general halacha is Sam Mishnah. But the Rambam indeed passed them. Ein mirim evrim ubrim b'shleimim v'leshleimim v'hem. So yeah, in that case, the halacha would be like Reb Shimon. Okay, fine. Okay.
You can look at Rambam on Google.
Yeah, well, not Google, but Safari or whatever. Yeah. Safari. It's an app. You have it online. Yeah. Okay. All right. On the side over here, it brings from the Baal HaMorah, who explains the Hekesh a little bit differently than Rashi, by the way. He says the Hekesh is not so much between Tmura and Meister, as the way we're putting over here. The Hekesh is between all other Kodshim and Meister, and then we have the Hekesh is that between all other Kodshim and Meister. So therefore, when it comes to Tmura, it has to be something that's only able to be, that it has to be a korban that's able to become Kaddish on an individual basis. As opposed to Meister Behema, you sometimes have, when you're counting new animals and two of them come out together, then both of them can become Kaddish under some circumstances. So therefore, so it would be excluding that case. Okay. Anyway, fine. The Gemara says, So how do you know that Mishnah that we just quoted about that you can't make a Tmura using Evorim or Ubrim is only a coincidence of Shimon? So let's just determine, because we learn in the continuation of that Mishnah, Amar Rav Yosi, that Rav Yosi says, the Mishnah is a Sam Mishnah, but then Rav Yosi continues, Rav Yosi objects to that. He says, V'haloiba Mukdashim, what about though, don't you have a case? Rav Yosi says you could make a Tmura using Evarim or using Obrim. And Rav Yosi says, but where do I get that from? He says like this, V'haloi b'mukdashim, after all, when it comes to originally declaring an animal Hekdish, Ha'oimer ragla shol zu oila, if a person were to say the leg of this animal is an oila, the din is kola oila. The din is the entire animal becomes an oila. So, Ha'oimer ragla shol zu tachas zu tehe kola Tmura tachteh. So, By the same logic, if a person were to say the leg of this animal is Tmura instead of that whole animal, then the whole new animal should become Tmura. So, Laman Kamahadele. So we have to ask, which Tana is Rav Yosi addressing with this argument? You have, which, that, this that he's saying, that the same way as if you were to declare the leg of a regular animal, you were to say this, the leg of this animal is oila. The din is, says Rabbi Yossi, the whole thing becomes an oila. So by the same logic, if I were to say the leg of this animal should be a tmura for this one, also it should work, and this whole animal should become a tmura. What's the difference? So what are you telling me, that you can't make a tmura using a varim? So the man kama. Once you say that you can make a leg, once you say you can make a leg kaddish and the whole animal becomes kaddish, why should
the animal, not the leg?
The point is, why should it be any different in the case of tmura? You, Tanakama, are telling me that you cannot make a tmura using a varim because you're learning it. So the point is that we see, says Rabbi Yossi, the same way as you're able to declare the leg by itself kaddish and the whole thing becomes kaddish, you should be able to declare the leg tmura and the whole thing becomes tmura. What's the difference? So the question is, Laman Kamahadalam, which Tana is Rabbi Yossi addressing with that argument? Ilay Milad Meir Rabbi Yehuda. Now we have a number of Tanoim who argue on various details of these din. So is he addressing Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda? The question is, why would he need to? Mi Islahu Hai Svara. Do they even agree with that premise of his? That if you were to declare the leg of an animal an oila, that the whole thing would become an oila? They disagree with that whole premise. We learn in a braisa, you would think that if you declare the leg of this animal an oila, the whole thing becomes an oila. No, because the pasuk says, also in Bechol Kodesh over there, that anything of it that you give to Hashem will be kodesh. Mimenu means mimenu kodesh for like kolei kodesh. Only part of it. Only the part that you declared kodesh becomes kodesh, not the rest of it.
And therefore they disagree. So
they disagree. One second. First, let's finish up. Yachol teit v'lechol, because we haven't yet gotten to how we know that this is Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So wait. Yachol teit v'lechol. Then okay, so you would think in that case nothing happens. You would think, okay, he said the leg of this is kodesh. Fine, but you could argue maybe you should be able to be poydeh. You would figure out how much the leg is worth, pay that amount to hekdesh, and the leg becomes cholin again, and then you can do whatever you want with it. No, on the other hand, Talmud Lema Yiyah. But the pasuk says that Kodesh Yitzim Mimen Hashem Yiyah. Kodesh Yiyah means Bahava Yosef Tehei. It retains its original status, which means that it has the status of Kodesh, and therefore it can't become Kholin. So what is it? Does it say Kodesh, or does it? Yeah.
Can we leave it?
Yeah. So
the whole thing.
Not the whole thing. You mean the part, that leg itself, remains Kodesh. There's no way it
can't remain Kodesh.
That's what we're saying. So you have a question. So what are you doing over here? You can't say that we're saying the whole animal doesn't become Kodesh because we menu. But on the other hand, the leg itself, you can't be Kodesh because yeah. So what do you do with it? So what do you do? Timocher l'tzorcha erlas. Sell the entire animal to somebody who needs an animal for a korban erla. V'dameh cholin. The value that you get for this animal, most of it will be cholin, chutz midmei eva shabbat, except for the value of that leg. So if the whole animal is worth $1,000 and the leg is worth 100, so you sell it to somebody for 1,000, 900 of that money is cholin, 100 of it is kodesh. 100 of it you have to give to Bedek Habayis, and the other 900 you can keep. It divrei Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda say. So that we see that they hold that declaring the leg kodesh is acceptable by itself. So Rabbi Yossi can't be telling them, yeah, but you see that if you make the leg kodesh, the whole animal becomes kodesh, so therefore it should work by tomorrow, because they don't agree with that whole premise there. By the way, Rashi mentions over here that the Gemara and Tmura asks the question on that. Wouldn't you have a problem? The person who buys it, effectively, it's like he's not buying the whole animal, because the leg didn't belong to the original person to sell it. So now, in effect, the new person is not giving a whole animal as an oila. He's giving an animal minus one leg. And he made a neder to bring a whole oila. So how does that work? And the Gemara explains over there that actually what it would be is, we'd have to be talking about the person who bought it would basically have to be, what? No, he'd have to be saying basically that whatever I can bring of an animal as an oila, I'm going to bring. So therefore, so fine, the leg doesn't belong to him, it wasn't sold to him, it still belongs to the other person, effectively doesn't matter. Or it belongs to
him. You can offer an oila with a missing leg.
It's not actually missing, no, it's not physically missing. It's not
physically
missing. Okay, no, but it's not. It had the kedusha of the oila before. Now you made the rest of it have the kedusha of oila. The whole thing doesn't belong to you, because part of it belonged to Hekdesh already. That's why the $100 has to go to Hekdesh. Doesn't matter, because he the Chachilla said, I'm going to bring whatever part of the animal I can as an oila. Okay. So, anyway, so the point is, getting back to our Gemara, so Rabbi Yossi clearly can't be arguing on Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, because they would disagree with his whole premise. It continues the Braisa. continues the price. So Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Minayim La Omer Ragla Shalzu Ola Kahekula Ola. Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon say, so here's the key point, we see that Rabbi Shimon agrees with Rabbi Yosef on this, that Minayim La Omer Ragla Shalzu Ola Kahekula Ola. No, how do we know that if you say the leg of this animal is an Ola, the whole thing is an Ola? Tamad Lami Yiyya, they learn from the word Yiyya, Larabbas is Kula, that comes to include the whole animal becomes Kodesh.
Before
Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir used it to say Yiyya. Right, that only that limb retains Kodesh.
It means
the whole thing. So the point is, so getting back to when Rabbi Yossi makes the argument that based on that concept, we should also say that, based on that concept, we should also say that the same thing, that a tmura can be done using one limb, because if you make one limb Kodesh and the whole thing becomes Kodesh, the same thing should apply to tmura. So the question is, Laman, so now back to our question, who is Rabbi Yossi addressing? Either Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda, he can't be addressing Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, because we just said, me is Lu Hai Svara, they disagree with the whole premise. So obviously, Rabbi Yossi must be addressing Rabbi Shimon. So there you go then. That would prove that original, that the Tanakama of that Mishnah that said that you can't make a Tamura using Evarim and Ubrim must be Rabbi Shimon. The answer is why? Not necessarily. You could say that the Tanakama of that Mishnah is actually Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yossi, Taima de Nafshe Kama, Rabbi Yossi is not arguing with the Tanakama saying you ought to agree with me about a Tmura using Evarim given what you hold about making the original Eva Kodesh. He's not saying that. He's saying, I want to explain to you, I myself hold that by Mukdashin, you're able to make a leg Kodesh and the whole thing becomes Kodesh because I learned from Yiyya. So therefore, I'm informing you, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Why am I saying that it works by Tmura? Same logic, because if it works by Kodesh, if it works by making the leg Kodesh to begin with, then it works by Tmura as well. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda don't necessarily, he's not saying Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, you should be agreeing with me on this. He's just informing them, I want to explain to you why I would hold that such a thing would work. So therefore, the Tanakama, because if it works by Kodshim, and it makes the whole, then it has to work by Tmura, that's what he would say. So in other words, one second. So what we're left with then is, in other words, the Tanakama of that Mishnah does not have to be Rabbi Shimon. It could be Rabbi Meir, Stam Mishnah is usually Rabbi Meir. It could be Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda is usually the one who argues with Rabbi Meir. They would say that you can't make a tmura using a varim or ubrim, because in general they say even if you were to declare the leg of an animal kodesh, only that leg becomes kodesh. So the same thing, there's no reason to think therefore that if you were to make the leg of this animal a tmura on behalf of this whole other animal, that it should work.
But the whole animal should be
right. Maybe the leg would be, but maybe not even that. Because there you don't have a reason to say posh the kedusha b'kola. You wouldn't say that the kedusha extends to the entire animal. All it's going to extend to is the leg, and to that extent we're not going to say that it's a tzmura. Rabbi Shimon would also disagree with that, because we could say, not like we thought that Rabbi Shimon would say that you could, that Shimon would be the one who says that you could
disagree.
Rabbi Shimon would also say that you can't make a tzmura with, that you can't make a tzmura with a leg or with an ogre. Oh no, Rabbi Shimon would say that you could actually. Rabbi Shimon might agree with Rabbi Yossi that you could.
But we just said it's not necessarily putting.
That's
Rabbi
the point. No. So we said the Tanakama of that Mishnah is not Rabbi Shimon. The Tanakama of that Mishnah might need a mayor or a Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi are both saying that if you say Ragla shall do Ola, the whole thing becomes an Ola. So therefore, they might say that yes, if you make the leg of an animal tmura, it does become a tmura. So Rabbi Shimon would not agree with the statement in that Mishnah. So we were thinking that Mishnah is according to Rabbi Shimon, and therefore we had to say that So we thought originally that Mishnah is according to, okay, so in the first answer of our Gemara over here, we thought that Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah according to everybody. Therefore, we said if a baby animal can't be made of Tmura, then it can't be considered Behema. Then we said Rav Shimi Bar Ashi's answer was that no, that Mishnah is only according to Rav Shimon. Now we're saying not necessarily can we accept Rav Shimi Bar Ashi's explanation, not necessarily is that Mishnah according to Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon might actually disagree with it. He might agree with Rabbi Yossi that a leg can become Tmura, as opposed to that Mishnah says a leg can't become Tmura. So therefore, when that Mishnah says you can't, that an Uber can't be a Tmura, then that might, Reb Shimon might not agree with that. So
we don't know, basically.
We don't know, basically, that's right. Saying. That's what we're saying, yeah. So not necessarily, so not necessarily is that Mishnah according to Reb Shimon, so therefore not necessarily is Reb Shimon Bar Ashi's answer, not necessarily is Reb Shimon, Bar Ashi's answer the last word on this.
That's
we it. Might.
That Mishnah is not like Reb Shimon.
Then we're back to that on the face of it, you would need, then on the face of it, the Uber is considered a behemoth. Because we would say that Mishnah says you can't make a tamura using an Uber because not behemoth. So then in that case, we're back to, in that case, then why are we saying we learn from behemoth be behemoth? And we would say they're not. We would learn from the other limud that we said from kol behemoth.
And so therefore, not being from Reb Shimon, it would be a stam Mishnah.
So it's a stam Mishnah, and therefore the halacha can be like it. And therefore the halacha can be like it, which indeed is what it is.
Which is what it is, and it's considered from Reb Meir.
And the fascist would be from a Meir, for stam Mishnah or Meir. Okay. Mishnah says. Now, okay, so we talked about our first mission to talk about an animal that's having a difficult birth and it stuck out a limb. So now let's talk about what if the animal that's giving birth is having its firstborn. Now, so that firstborn is, that's giving birth to a b'chur. Now, a b'chur becomes kaddish only when it comes out of the womb. Kapeter resim, only when it opens the womb and comes out. So, mechatech eber, so you're allowed to, so if it's having a difficult,
hold on,
that's what we're going to be discussing in the Gemara, but hold on. So, mechatech eber, umashlech l'klavim, you're allowed to chop off each limb as it comes out of the womb, umashlech l'klavim, and you're allowed to throw them to the dogs. They don't yet have kedusha, because it only has kedusha once it's born. Yotzer rubai, when most of the animal comes out, most of the baby comes out, then already you can't do anything. Harezi, so if it dies, harezi you cover. Then you have to bury it because then it's also b'hana.
Then it's considered
b'chor. Yeah, the v'nifkeres mina b'chora. The mother animal is potter from b'chora. The next baby that it'll have will not be considered a b'chor. Rashi learns that the v'nifkeres min ha-b'chor refers to both cases over here. Whether you cut off eva and threw it to the dogs, or whether rubai came out all at once, either way it's considered that the next one is not peteres anymore. The Rambam disagrees with that. The Rambam holds that it only refers to the second case. If he cut off eva, then there was no birth, there was no complete birth yet over here. Therefore, he holds the next baby that this animal has will actually be considered peteres and will be a b'chor.
Even though something does come out of
there. Even though something came out, because it was only one aver at a time, there was never anything.
He considered the whole animal has to...
The roiv of it, at least.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
To be considered a
b'chor, and therefore, it's less than that, so it's as if nothing was born, and therefore the next baby that it has will be a b'chor. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, Itzmar. So now we have a discussion of amiroyim like this. Yotzeh shlish. What happens like this? If one third of the baby came out, so less than half, you sold that part that came out to a goy. Now the din is that if a goy has any ownership of the bechor itself or of the mother, then there's no chiyuv of bechorah. Which in fact, in the back of Shulchan Aruch, in the back of the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch, you can find over there, after Seder Mechiras Chometz, you can find Seder Mechiras Behema HaMavakeret. Because you have, nowadays, we have no Beis HaMikdash, so if you have an animal that's Bechur, you have a real hardship with it, because you can't shear it, you can't work with it, you can't do nothing except wait till it develops a mum, and then you can shech it in the Kohen and get
today.
Today, yeah. So therefore, so it's a hardship to have an animal that's Bechur.
But you can sell it to a guy.
Well, wait. One second. So before it has Kedushas Bechura, you're able to make a business deal with a guy, yeah. So therefore, so the Alter Rebbe describes it.
During the delivery?
That's what we're trying to figure out over here. Wait. So if you, okay, the point is, the underlying premise is that if a guy has any ownership of the mother or the baby, it's potter. And therefore, in fact, eventually, the minhag developed to do as a regular thing. You have a baby cow, you have a mother cow or sheep or goat that's about to give birth. You would arrange something with a goy, similar to Mechiras Chometz, which is why the Alter Rebbe puts them together, to do a transaction over there where you're effectively selling the mother to the goy for the duration. So that way the baby doesn't have to kedushas b'chor. The Alter Rebbe discusses over there that in principle you could do it by selling an ear of the mother to the goy, but it's complicated to do that because no, it's not. he's not going to cut off the ear. The point is, just selling the ear. In principle, you could do that, but it's complicated to make sure that you're getting it right. And after all, you're involved in Kodesh and Bachos over here. So the Alter Rebbe describes you do something like Mechiras Chametz, where you sell the goy, the animal on the place where it's resting and whatever, and therefore, okay, wait a minute. The point is, the point is that like this, you sell the whole animal on the place where it's resting and whatever, and that way for sure you have a valid transaction. The point is, like this, during the birth, one third came out. At that point, you sold that one third to a guy. V'chaz of yo, maybe even the whole thing, whatever. V'chaz of yo to shlishacher. Then the next third comes out. So the question is, so now at that point, roiv where the baby was born, Rav Huna omer kadosh. Rav Huna says it doesn't. The sale to the guy is no good. The animal, the bechor, is kadosh. You do have to follow the usual rules of a bechor, because the fact that you sold it to a guy was ineffective. We're going to see why in a second. Rabba Omer Eina Kaddish, and Rabba says that it's not. Why? Rav Huna Omer Kaddish, Kasavah Lama Freya Kaddish, because Rav Huna holds that the baby becomes Kaddish retroactively. It's true that it has to be mostly born in order, and by the way, when we say mostly born over here, we're talking about if it comes out feet first or whatever. If it comes out head first, once the head comes out, then it's considered born. So here we're talking about coming out feet first, for example. According to Rav Huna is saying like this. Once the roiv comes out, then we know it's kaddish. However, Rav Huna says that once the roiv comes out, it's retroactive to the beginning of the birth.
Not before.
Before it was born, it definitely doesn't have kedusha.
When part of it is born.
No. So therefore, Rav Huna would say when part of it was born, at that point it was sort of in limbo. Was it going to have kedushas b'chor or not? We're not sure yet. Eventually, roiv comes out, it gets kedushas b'chor. Therefore, it means it had kedushas b'chor from when it started coming out of the womb. Therefore, the part that you sold to the guy, you can't have sold it to him because it's a b'chor. You didn't have the right to sell it. Therefore, it has kedusha.
If you sold it before anything came out, no problem.
If you sold it before anything came out, for sure, Rav Huna would agree that. Right. Rabba Omer, so therefore, given this chronologically rule, so therefore, once most of it came out, iglai milsa l'mafreya, then it shows retroactively the me'ikra ha'yach ha'ava kaddish, that from the beginning it was kaddish, umay de zabin, like kolam zabin. So when he sold the part to the guy, it wasn't effective, because you can't sell a b'chor. Rabba Omer ene kaddish, Rabba says it's not kaddish, kasava mikano l'ava kaddish, because Rabba holds that no, the animal only becomes kaddish, the baby only becomes kaddish, once roiv comes out. Roiv didn't come out yet at the time he sold it to the guy.
Instantly.
Yes. Umay de zabin. Umay de zabin, shachar zabin. So you sold the part to the guy, fine, you were able to sell it, because at that point, roiv wasn't out yet, so it didn't have kedusha yet. And therefore, in other words, Rabba would say, so none of it becomes Kaddish, because again, you have Yad Nochri Ben, so you have a goy ownership, you have a goy partly owns the animal, therefore the whole thing has no din in b'chor. Okay. Then says, well, all do the timeline. Rabba and Rav Huna are going according to their respective opinions where we see in a different din also involving a b'chor that Rav Huna and Rabba have a similar machloka.
What's the underlying principle?
The underlying principle, is it l'mafreya or is it l'haba? So now we're going to say there's another machloikas which also relates to this. The itmar, because we have another argument between them, yotze shlish derech doifen or shlish derech rechem. Suppose now you have like this. The animal is being born. Now we know it doesn't have kedushas b'chora, and this is true of humans as well, unless they're born normally, unless they're born through the birth canal, not if they're born by C-section. So what happens? If originally you started by cutting open the womb and part of to do a C-section and part of the animal, one third of the animal came out through that, then after that the birth canal opened up normally and the rest of the animal was able to be born through that, so only part of it was born through the incision, less than half.
So you did
derech doifen and one third of it came out through that, or less than half, in other words, and then the rest, the majority came out through. It's unusual. It's unusual, but no, you know what? We're going to talk later on. I and Aleph, we're going to have even more unlikely cases. But you know what? These unlikely cases that the Gemara is discussing, first of all, it's part of Torah. It's still, Drosh v'kabel schar. We learn these things and we get a schar for learning them. Second of all, second of all, also, many times what the Gemara is doing with these things, the case itself is actually Tosfos themselves points out in other places. The case itself is probably almost impossible to happen, this and some other, and not necessarily this one, but some other ones that we're going to be discussing later. However, the Gemara wants to establish the principle. The Gemara is sort of, in modern terminology, they call it a thought experiment. And based on that thought experiment, it shows you what are the underlying principles in an animal becoming a Bechor, or in the various other cases that we're talking about. And by the way, we're not going to get to it tonight, Rez Hashem, but some of these cases that the Gemara is going to discuss actually end up having practical applications nowadays in Halacha. Now that we have new technologies and new developments and whatever, some of these things that in the times of the Gemara and even as recently as 100 years ago were completely theoretical, now they turn out to have great implications as far as certain dinim nowadays. Surrogate motherhood and egg donation and incubators and other such things. But yeah, anyway. Okay, so if you have, again, one-third came out through the Doifin and two-thirds through the Rechen, Rav Huna Oma Eina Kaddish, Rabba Oma Kaddish. Again, Rav Huna says that it's not Kaddish because part of it came out through the Doifin, Rabba Oma Kaddish. Rav Huna Oma Eina Kaddish, Rav Huna L'Taymeh. So Rav Huna is going according to the same logic as before. D'Amal Amachreya Kaddish, he says that once the Rav is born, then the Kedusha goes retroactively to when the birth began. Well, the Ruva Kama Leste Berechen. So what happens when 51% of the baby has come out? At that point, not all of it came out through the Rechen. Of that 51%, part of it came out through the Doifin. Therefore, you know, at the point of 51%, at the point of 51%, you don't have, Kedusha is not able to be Chal. Rabba Amar Kaddish, Rabba L'Taymeh, so Rabba is going according to his Svara, Rabba Mikano L'Abba Kaddish, he says it only becomes Kaddish from now to the future, once the 51st percent is born, at that moment it gets Kedusha. Well, good. Okay, most of it came, most of the animal, two-thirds of the animal is coming out through the Rechem, so therefore you're good. Okay, so now why do we have them arguing in both cases? Well, Tzricha, we need both of those machlokes in. The one that met where one-third came out and you sold it to the Goy and the rest was born, and the case where one-third came out through the Dreyfus and the rest came out through the Rechem. By the way, Tosfos points out over here that there's another Nafka Minna that the Gemara is not mentioning over here, that there seems to be another Nafka Minna between Rabba and Rav Huna. Would you be allowed to, as the animal is being born, would you be allowed to make a mumin? One way of making that you won't have a problem of Bechor, that you won't have the Kedusha of the Bechor and have to leave it till it's shaggy and whatever, is for it to have a mum. So if you reach into the womb while it's still in there and make a mum in it, that everybody would agree is mutter. But would you be allowed to do it once the animal starts to be born? According to Rav Huna, it would seem that not.
Can you do voluntarily a mum to something
that's... Again, it's not kodshim until it's born. So before it's born, before it starts coming out of the womb, it's not kodshim yet. That's what I was saying before. Unlike regular kodshim, where if they're pregnant, the baby also has kedusha. Here, the baby only becomes kodish once peter recha, when it comes out of the womb. So as long as it's in the womb, you're definitely allowed to make a mum in it. The question would be, if it started coming out, again, let's say if the head came out, there's nothing to talk about, then for sure it's born. But if it starts coming out feet first or whatever, back feet first, would you be allowed to make a woman in according to Rav Huna? No, because of Machreya or Kaddish. So therefore, it comes out that you made a woman Kaddish. According to Rabbi, it should be Mutter. If you make a mum when, let's say, 10% of it is out, later on, 51% of it is going to come out. Rav Huna is saying that l'machreya hu kaddish. That means at the time when that 10% is out, now it shows that retroactively that part was kaddish. The animal was kaddish already. So you made a mum in kaddish, but you're not allowed to do.
You made a mum after 51%.
No, before. You made it when 10% was out. But nevertheless, l'machreya, retroactively, when 51% comes out, now you know the animal was kaddish as of when the birth process began, as of when the first percent came out. So when 10% came out and you made a moment, comes out retroactively that you made a moment conscious. That's the point. That's fine. But Rav Huna would still say that it's also. Because it turns out that the same way as Rav Huna would say that you sold the one-third to the goy, we say we cancel the sale, because retroactively it turns out that this animal has been a Bechor all along. The same way in that case, it turns out the animal has been a Bechor all along, and when 10% had come out and you made the moment, and at that point it was already... You didn't know yet at the time whether it's going to end up being a Bechor. But later on, a couple of minutes later, 51% is born, and at that point, it becomes a Bechor. Not at that point. Rava says at that point. Ravuna says retroactively.
Retroactively.
As of 10 minutes ago, when the birth began, it was already a Bechor. So therefore, you weren't allowed to make a Mumin. As opposed to Rava would say, it's only the Kana Lahaba. All right, let's go on, and I'll explain it to you afterwards if you're still having a hard time with it. All right. Okay. So it's Tzricha. The Gemara says we need both of these Machorot. From the beginning of the birth,
delivery,
right. Yeah.
It's considered a Bechor.
It's considered a Bechor, right. Whereas Rava would say that not. Rava would say...
consideration kicks in only after the Rav comes
out. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Whereas Rav Huna would say, that it only becomes a Bechor when 51% come down. Okay. So it's Tzricha. We need both of these Machorot in. Yashmin and Baha, because if we only had their first machloikas about the case where you sold it to the guy, you would say Baha Ka'am Rav Huna. You know why Rav Huna is machmir over there and says the animal is Bechor Mishum de la Kula. Because if you were to say Mikan Olahaba, it would result in a Kula. You're saying Mikan Olahaba means you're able to take away the Kedusha from this animal by selling part of it to a guy. Avo Bahach, but in the second machloikas, where Rav Huna's point about Lamafreya results in the Lachumra, saying Lahaba results in a Chumra, because if you say Lahaba, then you would say the animal is Kaddish, whereas if you say Lamafreya, then you would say, because one-third came out Derech Doifen, then it's not Kaddish. Ema Mordele L'Rabba, so maybe he would agree with Rabba that you have to be Machmer. The Ishma Baha, on the other hand, if we only have the second Machloikas, you'd say the other way around. Baha Ka'omer Rabba, only in that case does Rabba say, because the fact that, because there you're being Machmer, Ava Baha, but in the first case, we're saying Lahaba results in a Kula, because you sold it to the guy. Ema Mordele L'Rav Huna, you would think maybe he agrees with Rav Huna. Tzricha, and therefore we needed both Machloikas. Who is the halacha like, by the way? So here you have a machlokas rishonim. The Rambam paskins like Rav Huna. The Rosh paskins like Rava. So therefore, again, in one of these cases you'd have a kula, and in the other cases, so depending which one you follow, in one case you'd have a kula, and in the other case you'd have a chumra. The Rambam holds like Rav Huna. So therefore, in the case of the goy, in the case of selling the one third to the goy, it wouldn't be effective. On the other hand, in the case of Shlish Derech Zoifen, it would mean the animal doesn't have Kedusha. As opposed to the Rosh Paskins, like the Rosh Paskins like Rabba. So therefore, it would mean in the case with the Goy, then it would be Potter from Bechora, because Yad Nochri Bensa. But in the case of the Shlish Derech Zoifen, then it would be, in the case of the Shlish Derech Zoifen, then it would be Kaddish, because most of it came out through the womb. Okay. So now that we have this machlokas tnan, let's look at our Mishnah and see which opinion fits better with our Mishnah. We learned in our Mishnah, hamvakeres hamachshaleled. We said that if you have a mother animal that's giving birth to its first baby and it's having a difficult birth, mechatech eva eva mashlech l'klavim. We're saying you're allowed to chop off each limb as it comes out and throw them to the dogs. My lav mechatech omaniach. Now, on the face of it, when we say cutting them off and throwing them to the dogs, shouldn't we assume that it doesn't mean that you have to throw each one individually? It would mean you cut off one piece, you cut off another piece, etc., and eventually you have a pile over there that amounts to roiv of the animal, and then at that point, mashlicha l'klavim. If you say that, so the e'amet mafreya hu kodesh, so if you tell it, so you, Rav Huna, are telling me the mafreya hu kodesh, that it turns out retroactively, once 51% comes out, it was considered a bechor. Once you have it all sitting in front of you, what do you mean? You can throw it to the dogs. You cover me, by the way, it should have to be buried. So therefore, the Mishnah seems to contradict Rav Huna. And the answer is no,
because
the Mishnah seems to be implying that you can chop off each limb as it comes out and assume that it means that you can make a pile of them and eventually later on throw them to the dogs when the dogs are there. So therefore, but at that point you have roiv will come out. So therefore, it should be considered a bechor.
It's a steer to
Rav Huna. Okay, Tosfos talks about why don't we say it's a stira on Rabba as well. I mean, after all, ultimately you do have roiv over here. But okay, the answer is because Rabba would say mikano labo hu kaddish. He would say the fact of the matter is whatever was cut off before roiv came out has no kedusha at all. Even after roiv comes out, these parts that were separated from it wouldn't have kedusha. But Rav Huna, who says mafreya hu kaddish, he should say that those cut off pieces have kedusha as well.
Even though it's a mezkitza, all that means
is maybe you would be allowed to eat it, maybe you wouldn't. Is a different thing. That's what we said. Therefore, we should say the pieces that come out before it's completely born are also to eat. Fine, but here we're not talking about that. Here we're talking about, do they have Kedushas Bechor?
When, then?
Okay. Yeah, so the question is definitely on Rabbona. And Tosfos says, okay, the question is not so much on Rabba, because you could say that the pieces don't have Kedusha if they're cut off. He would be talking about what has Kedusha when it's still attached to the animal. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
The answer is loy, no, because that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. Because you could be talking about, the Mishnah is saying, each piece, as it comes out, you can cut it off, and right then you throw it to the dogs. But if you were to make a pile of them, then you're right, that's not what the Mishnah is talking about.
If you've made a pile.
If you made a pile, then it sounds like it would be also a coin to Rav Huna.
Because it still would.
Because ultimately you have Roy coming that came out. And then Lamafreya who Kaddish. So the Mishnah would be telling. So the Mishnah would be telling us like this. If Mechatech Omar, only if Mechatech Omashlech, as each piece comes out, you cut it off, and right then you throw it to the dog, so you never have a Roy sitting there at any one time. So therefore you can't say that it has Kedusha and therefore you should bury it. It's too late to bury it. It's already been eaten by the dogs. Yeah. Okay. So
when we do know that Rove came out, it has.
No, eventually when Rove comes out, you'll have to bury it. But the point is, we're saying if one piece comes out or another piece comes out, et cetera, at that point, one by one, you throw them to the dogs. The Mishnah can't tell us afterwards you cover because none to bury. Yeah. Okay, so the question is, so what are you telling me? If you made a pile of the pieces, according to Rav Huna, you're saying you would have to bury them.
The question is,
are you telling me that that's what the Mishnah is saying, that only if mechatech or mashlich is it that you don't have to bury it, but if mechatech or maniach, you would have to? The problem with that is, no, it's impossible. The question is, if that's how you understand the Mishnah according to Rav Huna, that the only case where you don't have to bury it is mechatech or mashlech, in that case, instead of learning in the sefer, yotze ruba you cover, that if most of it comes out, then you have to bury it, and we said then the mother animal is potter from b'chayra, its next baby is not going to be considered a b'chayra. If you're going to tell me, Rav Huna, that even within the case of individual pieces coming out, you have a distinction, sometimes they'll be kaddish, sometimes not, then the Mishnah, instead of distinguishing between a piece coming out at a time versus Roiv coming out at a time, which makes it sound like the Roiv came one time. Roiv, we know that if Roiv comes out of it. The point is, Yotze Ruboi Ke'echad, Yotze Ruboi sounds like it means that Roiv came out at once. But if you, Rav Huna, are telling me that even when pieces come out, sometimes they can have Kedushas Bechor, namely if you make a pile of them, why are you distinguishing between individual pieces versus Roiv coming out all at once? The Mishnah should be making a distinction within pieces coming out themselves. When would it apply that you can throw them to the dogs, only if you're chopping off and throwing each individual aver to the dog, the fact that the Mishnah doesn't make that distinction seems to imply that, in fact, if one aver comes out at a time, it doesn't have Kedusha. Only when Rubei comes out at one time would it have Kedusha. That would be against Rav Huna.
Again.
That's the same part of the same question. The answer is Hochinami Kama. That's exactly what the Mishnah means. When the Mishnah says Yotze Rubei, doesn't mean that Roiv came out at once. The Mishnah means when is it talking about? When you threw each individual piece to the dog, so you never have Roiv sitting there all at once. But if you cut off each piece and made a pile of them, and now you eventually have a pile, eventually it's as if Roiv came out at once, and therefore we cover, so therefore you have to bury it. In other words, the point is that Rav Huna would be saying, when it said in our Mishnah, Yotze Ruboi, doesn't mean that Roiv comes out at once. He means once Roiv came out, whether it came out all at once, whether it came out piecemeal, once you have 51%, then you have Kedushas Bechor. So if you threw each piece to the dogs as it came out, fine, there's nothing there to bury, so nothing to talk about. But if you have pieces there when Roiv comes out, then those pieces will in fact be also Bahana and you'll have to bury them.
Because it is a Bechor
and it has Lamafreya who Kaddish. So Rabba wouldn't have to say that. Rabba could say that the Mishnah is distinguishing between one Aver coming out at a time versus Roiv coming out all at once. Rav Huna would be saying the distinction isn't between Roiv coming out all at once or not. The distinction is, is there a Roiv or isn't there a Roiv? Do you actually have a Roiv sitting in front of you or not? Right. Okay. Good. We'll stop over here and we'll continue tonight. Or we'll continue tonight, Mr. Shem.
Bye.